Hello, everybody. Welcome to Interview with the Horror Virgin. I'm your host, James, and with me tonight, I have...
Nicholas.
Nice to meet you, Nicholas. Tell us a little about yourself. I understand you have your own podcast.
I do. It's called Pop Culture Roulette. We talk about anything and everything we want to. We just label it pop culture. So, you know, 1 week we might be talking about... although right now we're a little bit struggling for news with the writer's strike and the actor's strike, but... Yeah, you know, so we've been doing, like, a couple weeks ago, we did a whole series on who played it best. We did a 5-part series on who did Marvel, DC, and then what we claimed deemed the others. So, like, we took all 11 or 12 guys who played Batman and decided who we thought, or we couldn't come with a consensus with that one. But we talked about the 13 guys that have done Superman and... The three, you know, and so we just broke it all down and became a massive series for us. But
oh, cool, cool. Now I understand the whole Batman thing because there's really there's a lot of Batmans, and I mean I'm a Michael Keaton, but there's others that still like you know, Christian Bale or Kevin Costner. So you know,
right? Yeah, that's you know, that and well, we had to leave animated out because it's just too much to talk about. You know, there's 11 live action Batman.
That's fair.
Then there's like another 30 animated ones.
So. Yeah, I have not kept up with most of the Batman animated movies so far. The most recent one I saw was the Cthulhu one.
Yeah, I can't even keep up with that. There's just so much. You know, as much as I try to keep up with the live action stuff, the animated stuff just falls by the wayside. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, but you're not lying about like what's going on right now at the writer's strike. Me as an actor, it's a little tough right now because I would love to audition for some of the stuff that's hasn't shot yet, including Stranger Things. But until they come to a negotiation, everything is pretty much at a standstill, and we won't see Stranger Things unfortunately until 2027.
Which is unfortunate because I do really want to see the final season of that show.
Yeah, they may have to rewrite some stuff because the fact is that the kids are growing up. That's the big thing. The kids are getting older, and we can't really jump ahead by like 4 years and be like, we're leaving it off right at season 4. Nobody looks the same. You might want to fix that.
Yeah, that's the problem with doing stuff with kids. That's that was Walking Dead ran into that problem. Lost ran into that
big
problem.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you told us about the podcast. I've actually listened to a couple of episodes before. I don't know if you've released anything recent because I've been behind on people's podcasts, which is not good.
We're staying pretty current. I think I've still got to edit the episode we did last night, but we're getting back up to episode 100.
Oh, nice.
So we're getting close. I've got some ideas on what to do. I haven't quite nailed it down yet, so I don't want to, you know, tease anything just yet, but
that I completely understand. But yeah, go check his podcast out, guys, after this. I mean, like, him and Laramie deal out some really good content, so I highly recommend it. Well, I'm glad you decided to come on the show. I'm glad we were able to find something for you. Now, before I start revealing what it is, tell me a little about your horror movie background and just, like, where you're at with horror.
I enjoy horror movies, but growing up, I grew up in a household where my dad didn't really like horror movies, so if we ever did it, it was very basic. So I wasn't allowed to really watch horror movies, so I think like the first horror movie I ever watched was like Candyman or Aliens, like at a birthday party, slumber party,
nice.
You know, when I was in high school. Because that was just those were not the kind of movies that we were really allowed to watch in the house. So it wasn't until college or even after college when I moved to Florida that I just started binging on, like, I didn't watch Nightmare on Elm Street until like 2002.
Oh, wow.
2003. Like, you know, the same thing with Friday the 13th, you know, like I didn't see any of those. I mean, I saw Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 before I saw Nightmare on Elm Street or Halloween. You know, so like I'm catching up, but there are large gaps in my horror movie, you know, history. So I've seen a lot of more of the recent stuff. Like I would say Scream is probably, because that came out when I was in college. That's one of my all-time favorite horror movies. The franchise, you know, it hit or miss. I've enjoyed most of them. There's a couple I haven't liked as much as the other ones, but I think they might be getting back on the right track, but who knows,
Yeah, I understand. I stopped after the fourth film, and here we are now on moving on to the seventh film in the franchise. And as I've said before,
Yeah,
beating a dead horse almost.
well, as long as they don't go to space, we might be okay.
Yeah, we've had Leprechaun in space, and we've had Jason in space. At this point, yeah.
It's been a long-running joke on Pop Culture Roulette that a horror movie franchise jumps the shark when it goes to space.
You know, that's actually a really good point. Now that you mention it, I've just seen horror films when they try to go to space. It just, I don't know. The fact that just this character in space just seems weird, like Dracula.
If you want to have a horror franchise in space, you have to start there.
I like that.
You can't go there. You have to start there. Because aliens are amazing. Critters, that's another matter. But Jason X,
We're running out of ideas, is what the writers were saying. Because yeah, that was a bit of a ridiculous one. And I saw it on like Sci-Fi Channel a long time ago, and I didn't like it. Jason Takes Manhattan. I think that's where I think the series was just like, let's just end it right here, just right here.
Probably would have been better, but I mean, longtime listeners of my podcast will know that me and Jeremy, one of the hosts I do it with, are big defenders of the Friday the 13th franchise in general, and he's more of an apologist for some of the later movies than I am, but
I mean, they're not all bad. I will say there is some hidden ones in there. I will say I think the fourth one out of like every other is like my favorite one to like watch. And then New
No,
Blood
I mean,
with the psychic.
well, there. I mean, we could spend an hour breaking down each one of the movies, but, and I would also say that the original, man, it just left my mind. Night of the Living Dead,
Ah.
the George Romero, is also in the top list of me because I am a big zombie movie fan. I don't know why, of all the horror tropes or genres, like zombie is the one that I have glommed onto the most.
That's pretty awesome. And the funny thing that you mentioned that, hey guys, he's going to be watching the famous Italian horror film by Lucio Fulci called Zombie. Very generic, but yes. So you're a big like zombie movie fan.
Right, and somehow I had never seen this one before. I think I've heard of it. But I've never really much encountered it, so I don't know much about it.
And that's fine. It's just with Italian horror films, they didn't really get here that much because they were very graphic at the time. Because when you watch George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead, and you thought it was pretty bad watching them, pick up the intestines and eat off the bone. But like here you see, open wounds like gushing out blood. And how like in America that's like a no-no, can't really show that much.
Well, earlier, recently, I think. I've not been much of a fan of some of the modern horror films. Like Eli Roth has done some good stuff, but I think sometimes he goes too far.
I have to agree as well. I meant like I like some of his stuff, but I do not like Hostel at all.
No, I don't like the horror movie where the protagonist is clearly has no way out. Like, I mean, if they lose, they lose, but at the same time, like, they have to have a chance. And there's the modern horror film, there just seems to be just too much of just like, well, you're gonna die,
Yeah, because then you have no one to root for.
Right.
Whereas with funny thing that you mentioned it, like in Night of the Living Dead, it does have that in there. You do root for them. You give them all the chances at the whole time, but then you've got the ending, and it is so crushing when you get to that
Right,
ending.
yeah. But there was for most of the time a way
Yeah.
out. They had a chance. It didn't end up working out for them, but at least they had a shot. Where in some of the other stuff, you're just like,
Kind of pointless if we went through all this and it's like, oh, there they go. Okay, well, I wasted an hour and a half of my time. Thanks.
Right.
Now, with some of the zombie films that you have seen, is there any like favorite zombie films that you have?
Well, other than Night of the Living Dead, I mean, Shaun of the Dead is in my personal top 10 of just movies in general. I do really love 28 Days Later.
Very good.
That one's one of my, it's one of the few fast zombie movies that I really get behind. I know you could also make the argument that it's not a zombie movie, but I'm not here for that argument.
I consider it somewhat of as I fall into the category of that is a good zombie film. I know now we're getting into the whole it's an infection, but when you really think about it, if you go back to George A. Romero's film, it was an infection. It wasn't just all of a sudden the dead decided to rise from the grave. If you were listening to, like, you know,
Right.
the dialogue, like some people don't do sometimes, it's kind of like a throwaway line. Oh, radiation, and somehow it transfers from one person to the next.
Yeah, no. Those are probably my top three: Night of the Living Dead, Shaun of the Dead, and 28 Days Later. I mean, those were my go-tos. There's been a lot of other zombie movies that I've enjoyed, but I enjoy watching the cheesy ones, like well, basically like anything that like Trauma
Oh,
or
yes.
Asylum does. I mean, it was well, it wasn't very good, but Strippers versus Zombies was funny.
Nice. Well, I think one of my favorites that I'll always drift back to, even though some people. I like Dawn of the Dead. I still do. Even the Zack Snyder remake, because that opening is like chef's kiss. Like, wow. We didn't even get the title yet, and all of a sudden, all hell is literally breaking loose.
I will say, as much as I tend to not enjoy remakes or Zack Snyder, Dawn of the Dead is probably one of his best
It is.
works.
It's amazing. And I love that in some of the stuff with like the original Dawn of the Dead, they kind of carry over. But I also love how in Dawn of the Dead, people were like, oh, it's a satire. And it took me forever to figure out, what do you mean it's a satire? And they go, the zombies represent people walking through the market or like, you know, the stores where it's consumerism. And I was like, I didn't delve that deep into this film. But again, it's George A. Romero. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't put it past him.
No, and I think that's maybe why I do like a lot of the zombie movies is that I mean, you have to look for it. You can watch it and enjoy it for what it is, but if you watch, especially Romero's, like there is hidden meaning behind each one of his original trilogy.
Especially the crazies. I feel like that's more of an infection movie than it is a zombie film because the people are still conscious. They're just violent.
Correct.
And Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead's another good one of his.
Well, and I think that's where like some of the remakes of his stuff kind of, I think that's where Zack Snyder actually succeeded in that he kept the subtext of the what Romero was trying to say with Dawn of the Dead, where a lot of the remakes of other Romero stuff loses the subtext and just amps up the blood and gore.
Yeah, most definitely. And I did like how in the original, I know we're talking about Night of the Living Dead before we get to zombie, but there is a lot of why we have what we have today because of Night of the Living Dead. Originally, they were called ghouls. They were never called zombies.
Right. Yeah. Well, for Halloween every year, Pop Culture Roulette and our parent podcast, Media Pod Smash, tends to go a little crazy. And so we did a big episode on just like the creation of zombies, like where, where the myth came from, where, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, I kind of like that too with the whole thing because now that Night of the Living Dead is good old public domain, I was thinking about doing like a live interview for people who have never seen it before. I thought that was something kind of cool to do for the community.
Oh yeah, because he forgot to, his company forgot to copyright it.
He didn't think it was going to do well. I think that's why he did it.
Yeah, because it went public domain pretty fast.
Yeah, it didn't even like last a year, I don't think. I think just poor George A. Romero was like, this is the late 1960s. Nobody really releases black and white films anymore. And maybe he was setting himself up by like, oh, I'm psyching myself out. I'm not good enough. But then look at what he's done. He made an entire new genre pretty much overnight in the horror industry.
Right, yeah. I mean, he took something that had barely been done before and created a whole new subgenre.
Yeah, I have to admit that as well. Now, with the Lucio Fulci zombie, have you ever like seen any like Italian horror films, or have you ever even heard of Lucio Fulci?
I cannot say I have. Given that I will watch a lot of just random crap on Saturday afternoons back when, I used to have cable or before I had cable, I don't know what I've seen and what I haven't seen or like if I was watching it knowing it was Italian. I maybe would have picked up on it if I realized how bad the dubbing was, but back in the day on Saturday afternoon when you're watching the UHF channel, when you're fixing the rabbit ears above the TV, you might not have known how bad the dubbing was. So
I'm afraid not. I remember growing up with Godzilla and watching that when I could.
yeah, there's a Godzilla channel on Pluto now, and watching back, you're like, wow, I don't remember it looking this bad. I still love them, but like seeing everything on the nice big flat HD TV, it's
You could really, really see, like, wow, this is really, really bad. The more detailed it is, like, the more disappointed I've become.
wow, that is obvious. It's a guy in a
It
rubber
is.
costume.
Oh, he caught on fire. I hope he's all right, actually. Ooh. But yeah. No, I like a lot of Lucio Fulci stuff because he did a lot of things in his time. He's made like really cool. Most of his stuff is revolved around like the dead in some shape or form. He did a cool film called The Beyond. That's a really good one if you ever want to see like another one of his. And he's really, really good with his practical effects as well. Now, he has an acronym in his films that I've come up with. I call it TEN. And the reason I call it that because I swear in every single one of his films, he either has something happen to the teeth, the eyes, or the nails. And it's just, ugh, it really makes you just like wince in your skin. You're just like, oh, why did you do that? Why?
okay. I mean, I don't tend to get too squeamish about that kind of stuff, but that eyes and not necessarily my favorite part when they go after them.
Mine has to be the nails, I'm afraid. Because they add a sound effect
Yeah.
to it, you know, if they're like clawing at something. And you're just like, okay. Because I think there's
Yeah.
one film, I won't tell you the title of, but there's like a woman that gets like buried alive by accident. And she starts clawing at the casket. But you don't see her do it until the camera pans up. And you just hear her ripping at the fabric. And then her nails are like all bloodied and popping off. And I was like, okay, we're done. We're done. We're done. I can't.
Oh. Yeah, no, I can't say I'd want to watch that one.
Yeah, but you say you're not too squeamish though when it comes to zombie films though.
Not really. No, I mean it has to be really bad for me to be like,
Like, how would you rate like I still like this is a great zombie film, Return of the Living Dead.
the one
That's
that
technically a sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Okay, but it's technically, but Romero had nothing to do with it, and it's.
Yeah, they just mentioned what happened, like, you know, oh, it was a
Oh.
gas leak.
Is that the one with Leanna Quigley? Okay, yes, I have seen that one. That one is funny. I enjoy that one.
See, zombie films can be funny, guys. They don't always have to be, you know, apocalyptic and sad. They can have some humor to them, and I thought that was a good one. And I think that's the first zombie film that introduced the whole we're coming to eat your brains, too.
It might have been.
Because this was 80s, and I don't think there was any other zombie film at the time that was mentioning anything about brains, but these were the ones that were really, you know, moaning brains throughout the whole movie. So.
It's possible. I don't have a encyclopedic knowledge of all zombie movies before 1982 or whenever that movie came
Oh
out.
no, that's fine. I just love asking people that because there's some people who've never heard of it before, and it came out with like I think there's technically three films. The rest of them are really not that good, but no, actually, I think there's four. I lied. There's more than three. I think there's four, and they just got more and more ridiculous after that. But yeah, cool. Well, you got any more final thoughts before we get off here and let you watch the film Zombie?
No, I can't think of anything.
What are you expecting from it?
I don't really know because I don't know anything about it, and I tried not to do any research like I normally do, because normally before I do one of these, I try to watch it like a minimum of 2 times before I sit down, and then I got all my notes. But I was like, I'm not supposed to know anything. I'm supposed to go into it blind. I got it, so I had to like intentionally stop myself from doing everything. I'm expecting some
Oh,
craziness.
good.
The poster that popped up when I found it on Shudder was like, okay, all
With the
right.
title, They're Coming to Eat You.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll let you get off and watch the film, and we'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, welcome back. I think we're going to turn it over to Nick real quick because he might have a lot on his mind. So let me know how you feel about Zombie.
Well, I didn't love it. I did like it. I can definitely see where it laid the foundation for a lot of zombie movies coming forward. When was this one made?
I'm going to pull that up real quick. I do believe it was made probably 70s. Or like, you know, right at the same time as like Dawn of the Dead was, I mean, it was done. I'm trying to get it right off the top of my head.
Okay. I was just trying to figure, because I was trying to figure out how early in the zombie genre it happened. Because you could tell there, it clearly had built off of some stuff. Because the ideas were definitely there, but I mean, some of the makeup was surprisingly good. I'm guessing it was a really low budget, but other bits of the makeup was surprisingly bad. Like, also, there was one thing that I've never seen in any zombie movie before since. That, okay, all right, so. Yeah, there was one scene that was a little, I must have encountered this one particular scene in something before, because when I saw it, I was like, that's where this is from. A zombie attacking a shark.
Oh, yeah, that's the best thing ever.
Oh, it's just so nonsense. It makes no sense whatsoever as to why there's a zombie hanging out in the ocean, and his first response is to just attack a shark. it makes no sense to the rest of the movie, but I'm glad it was there, because it was amazing.
Yeah, Jaws versus Zombies. That's literally the film that you got for that little bit of few seconds.
Yeah, I spent the next few minutes just trying to figure out how they filmed it. Was it a mechanical shark? Was it
real?
A guy?
That was a real shark.
Okay.
And there was, so was they said they sedated it. That's why it wasn't so aggressive, but still.
Yeah. So they just put a guy in some, well, I mean, it was underwater, so I can't imagine they had the best zombie makeup for underwater at that time. I think there's a reason that most zombie movies have stayed away from underwater zombies. The makeup, probably the biggest thing. But you always have to frame every zombie movie in where in the apocalypse it's starting, because then you have to figure out where the decisions that are coming in, because the just large amount of bad decisions that our group of four people make is just astoundingly bad. But at the same time, you also have to realize that they've never really encountered zombies at this point in the world. So when they're like, oh, this is a conquistador cemetery, let's just all lay down.
Yeah, some really poor decisions. And you're just like, okay, maybe we should not lay at a gravesite.
Right, yeah, let's not lay on all the graves. Like, that's just, you know. Also, man, the preservation of the bodies from the conquistadors from 400 years ago, apparently the Caribbean is prime territory.
They've got something in that soil.
Yeah.
Now, what were some of your like memorable moments from the film?
Other than the zombie shark?
Yeah, other than the zombie shark. Because you know, you probably know what I'm going to ask you about in a bit.
Yeah, I'm... Well, because you had kind of hinted at the fact that there was going to be an eyeball scene. And I saw it coming as soon as they had the zombie and they showed like the giant splinter of the broken wood and her like being dragged slowly. I'm like, yep, this is it.
Yeah. And that's the thing with eyeballs. It's usually fast. Not with zombie, not with Lucio Fulci. It was slow.
Right. I mean, and you could tell when they switched out the actress for the model, for the dummy. You could tell that in a lot of places. Yeah, I did not know. I guess I never really put two and two together. I knew it was taking place in the Caribbean because I'd seen that in the brief description. I didn't know, like, part of it took place in New York City.
Yeah, that kind of gets forgotten a good bit of this film because you have the beginning taking place in New York and then the ending. But other than that, you never go back.
Right. And, you know, so the beginning, you know, the sail, well, they have the little preamble thing. And then the beginning, you see the sailboat in New York Harbor and you see the Twin Towers. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Like, did not expect to see that today. But then, you know, as they're going through the movie and they're talking about trying to get back to civilization, I'm like, huh. You know, we haven't revisited the whole New York plot where the cop got bitten by the zombie. And yeah, so, and then they ended it with the zombie apocalypse happening in New York. I'm like, okay, all right, we got back there. Which, because I was thinking it was going to, is this a trilogy or is this just the one and done for
There was more after it, but this was not supposed to be like a sequel to Dawn of the Dead. Because a lot of people thought it was supposed to be a sequel to Dawn of the Dead, but Lucio Fulci said no. This was just a film that exists in the universe of the zombie universe.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't, I mean, because they didn't, they very clearly, because Dawn of, or Day of the Dead, Night of the Dead, all of those, it's clearly some sort of disease or brought on by some sort of comet, where this one is very clearly voodoo related.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't put the two and two together, but I figured, you know, based on the timing of the fact that both of them came out, you know, back then, I assume that most people probably thought it could have been a sequel. Oh.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It was funny how you mentioned at the end of it and all that stuff. Funny story, you were probably watching it and you probably still saw vehicles going underneath the bridge.
Yes.
He didn't have enough budget to close the bridge down, so they just decided to film it as is. And Lucio Fulci doesn't speak a lick of English, or his English is very bad. So he hired some extras, like $40 for, you know, for per day. And literally how he directed them was saying, like, this. And they somehow got what he wanted, and we got the zombies as they were.
I mean, it worked. I mean, I saw the cars moving, and I did think, oh, is that people escape? I didn't even think about the fact that, I mean, a budget, like, you could tell this was definitely on the lower budget side of things. So the fact that they were able to film in New York City at all was kind of amazing, but...
Yeah, it was. I mean, he gave the zombies some nicknames, called his clay, his little flower clay pots, because of how much makeup was on them.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell it was definitely clay or plaster for the face casting.
A lot of ammonia, too, to keep the blood the same color, because it was really cold when they were filming in New York.
Okay, all right.
And... the poor actors at some point, when some of it was starting to get into their mouths, as soon as they saw the camera stop rolling, they just went straight and spit it all out.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want ammonia in my mouth. So.
Well, you were talking about, like, you know, the whole, like, voodoo aspect. How do you like that with this film versus the previous, like, you know, concept of how the zombie starts? It starts with an infection or the radiation from a comet.
It never bothers me how it starts as long as they stay consistent. You know, so like if we start with the idea that it's voodoo related and halfway through the movie, they're like, hey, there's a comet. I'd be like, come on now. Like, as long as
understandable.
Know,
yeah.
You have to, you know, as long as you stay consistent with what your zombie, how your zombie apocalypse started, you know, you don't start it with like, oh, this was an infection. And then, you know, three movies in, you're like, oh, it was actually all supernatural or, you know.
Yeah, that's a really good point to make, because I feel like some films do suffer from that. We give it like a false plot, so to speak.
Right.
I thought it was really creepy how like there were still people on the island throughout the film, even though we saw so many of the zombies. Like, you could still hear the people with their ceremonies, like, you know, the drums and all that. But no one really was like, why are they still on the island?
I did have questions about... So... I was trying to figure out if the drumming and the chanting was things that they could actually hear, or if it was just part of the soundtrack.
I think it was a bit of both. Like, you could obviously tell when it was the soundtrack, then the faint chanting, like, in the background when the actors were actually acting with it. I think that's when they were being, that was part of the plot at that point, because I think someone was saying, what is going on? I think it was, like, the fisherman's wife when they heard that, and they were, like, getting, like, all fret and scared.
Yeah, and that's what threw me off because there was a couple times they make reference to it, but then they were like, I kept waiting for them to like come into a village and have like just like a village of people. And I was like, okay, maybe they, you know, you figure a budget for a couple of extras, but you know, I guess they had to spend it all on zombie makeup, I guess. I don't.
Yeah, I think they did because I could tell just by looking at all the stuff that we had, especially with like the zombies. They really didn't move fast either. These are probably like the slowest and less grabby zombies I've ever seen.
Right. And again, that's another thing that I want, you know, when I want my zombie film, I want it to stay consistent. If you're gonna do fast zombies, you gotta stick with the fast zombies. If you're gonna do slow zombies, you gotta stick with the slow zombies. You can't just be throwing a mix in depending on, you know, how scary you want to make a particular scene.
Okay, that makes I kind of like that. I like the whole concept of consistency because it doesn't like I don't know how to like word this. Doesn't make you want to think that your audience is stupid or they don't pay attention. Maybe that's what I'm
Right.
trying to like put together.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. The only thing that like with the plot, like at the beginning, they were clearly setting the doctor up to be kind of like a bad guy, like a mad scientist, not just somebody who was trying to figure out what was going on with the voodoo aspect of everything. So I guess that part kind of fell apart, but at the same time, I guess they never really fully explained what he was doing. So,
I think they were trying to like hint that he is researching it to try to figure out what's going on, but he didn't want to believe the locals that it was literally like voodoo and black magic that is bringing the dead back on this like cursed land, so to speak, because you had conquistadors, and conquistadors from history weren't the best people, so they maybe wanted to like implement that a little bit, but I don't think they had maybe had time to do it, and they wanted to keep the doctor there to have the, I guess, logical side of it.
yeah, I mean, I understand at some point you want to stay logical and you're like, I'm a doctor, I'm a man of science, but at some point in the face of all, like, you know, if it's there in front of you and it keeps happening, at some point you just have to abandon it and be like, well, this is clearly what's going on. This is the world we live in
Yeah,
now.
you have to throw science logic out the window when you finally just throw you'd be like, I can't explain it. The dead is coming back, and I don't know why the dead is coming back.
Right, let's solve the problem first and then figure it out later. Like,
Yeah, he was not the best. I'm about to say, I kind of didn't feel bad for him at any point, especially the way he treated his poor wife. I'm like, you just like left her alone on this island, even though she had like two people guarding her. They left. They were just gone and done.
yeah, I mean, you know, she was probably the most innocent of all the victims. I mean, the one of the, you know, the four people who were are kind of our main protagonist of the story. I don't know there. I think one of them name was Steve. I don't know.
Yeah, I meant like everyone seemed pretty innocent to be. They just were in. One girl was just looking for her father, and then you find out at the very beginning he's the one that he shot.
Right. And which I did, which made me think, all right, so the one that he shot was the one with the mustache, but I thought in the first scene the one with the mustache was the one doing the shooting. So maybe I just forgotten and don't remember it, the correct order of events, but
I thought it was the doctor because he's the one that has the gun, so.
yeah. But you know, they also kind of hint at the fact that her father clearly knew what was happening and had been participating in some of the research. So maybe he had shot one or two himself before he got infected or bitten. Or
Okay.
I will say that the one thing they weren't super consistent on was how long it takes you to become a zombie.
Right, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Because the one guy who was helping them bury gets bit and then like was a zombie like 30 seconds later. But other ones were like, you know, minutes, hours, days,
Yeah, like
yeah.
the cop at the beginning when he's already at the morgue and it's probably been a good couple hours, and then all of a sudden we just see a little bit of movement versus the captain of the boat where he gets bit by his wife, and then all of a sudden towards the end after a few minutes he turns into a zombie.
Right, yeah.
So how do you think it
So
fares as a
it
zombie film?
I mean, if you can handle watching a movie that was made in 1979, knowing that it doesn't have the modern special effects and the makeup isn't necessarily on par, it's fun. It's good. I mean, I did enjoy it. Like I said, I didn't necessarily love it, but I did enjoy it. I liked it.
Oh, good.
You
Good.
know, like if somebody wanted to watch it again, I'd probably watch it again. Or if you told me there was a sequel, I'd probably try to
There
hunt
is a
that
sequel.
down.
There's a Zombie 1, there's a Zombie 2, and a Zombie 3. I believe the second Zombie 2, is supposed to take its story or inspiration from I Walked with a Zombie and the original Walking Dead from 1963.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, you know, now that I've seen it, I enjoyed it, I'd probably try to hunt those down.
Cool. Would you say that this is like a film that you would keep with you, or maybe just like, watch it on occasion?
I'd watch it on occasion. I mean, like I said, like if I was hanging out with a group of friends and I'm like, "Hey, have you guys ever seen this? 'Cause you got to see this one scene."
Yeah. You gotta show them the shark scene. That's the one. That's the top dog right there.
Right, yeah. I mean that alone sets it enough to like put in the, well, to steal from Laramie's Moving Panels. You got the bag it, stack it, or trade it. I think I would put it in the stack it. Like, you know, I'd put it in that middle category. Like, I'm not necessarily throwing it in my top five, top 10 favorite zombie movies of all time, but I'm not like, yep, never watching
That's a
that
fair
again.
point. Yeah, I meant this is like a guilty pleasure film for me as well. I'll watch it on occasion. It has its moments where you're just like, it does have its slow moments too, unfortunately, for a zombie film, but then, no pun intended, look at how the zombies walk. They walk so damn slow. But, well, cool.
No, yeah.
What kind of rating would you give it? Maybe how many zombies would you give it out of five?
I'd give it a solid 3.
I guess I'm more of a stickler. I give it like a 2.5. As much as I love Zombie, I have my problems with it as well. Kind of like with yours as well. Like, it has some cool moments. It does this and that, but it's nothing amazing. It's just, lots of blood, lots of, everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I will. I mean, I'd have to sit down and look at the timeline of where zombie movies were made, because I know Night of the Living Dead was
8, I
1968.
believe. Yeah. No,
Yeah,
1968 it was.
68. So, okay, yeah. So you're looking at 11 years later. Like, how many more zombie movies had been made between then, between that one and this one? Because I mean, the technology in the 70s. So you made this in 79. Star Wars came out in 78. So, you know, like, you can't say the technology wasn't there.
Absolutely.
However, that's how you can tell the budget was really low.
And it was. I mean, I think Lucio Fulci knew what he was getting into. Nothing too amazing, kind of more story focused than it was special effects. And he kind of does that with all of his films as well. So, a bit of a correction on my part. It's the film that's he was doing is not From Beyond, because that's an H.P. Lovecraft film. His film is called The Beyond.
Ah, okay. But, you know, like I have different categories of bad movie. There's bad movie that's just bad. Like you don't want to watch it. It's bad acting, it's bad script, it's bad, you know. And then there's bad like anything that Asylum or Troma does. Like they are not good movies, but they are a lot of fun to watch. Toxic Avenger is just a
It is the
not a good
best
it's
thing ever.
bad. But it is so much
It's a
fun to
party
watch.
movie, like how you were saying you would show this to
Right.
people.
Right. You know, but I'm not ever going to put Toxic Avenger or Zombie or something like that in the same category as Star Wars or Shawshank Redemption or,
Alien.
you know, even Alien, you know, even, you know, to keep it in the horror film, you know, or even Shaun of the Dead. Like, you know, clearly Shaun of the Dead had a budget. And you know, so but there's so there's different levels, because I have friends who are like, how can you watch that? Because I love it. I love watching cheesy movies. Cocaine Bear, Snakes on a Plane, that, you know, they knew what they were. If you own it and you know what it is when you make it, I think that makes it more
Yeah.
enjoyable. It's when you're trying to make a good movie and you end up making a steaming pile of garbage, and then you don't own it afterwards, like that's when I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna
You can,
watch
when you
that.
clearly see that nobody cares, then you're not gonna care. I was also thinking of another good film that's like, fun to watch. Have you ever heard of Night of the Creeps?
I think I've heard of it, but I haven't
It's a
seen
really
it.
good one as well. It's got some great one-liners from a great horror actor. His name's Tom Atkins. He was in the original
Oh,
Valentine's Day.
Halloween 3.
Yep, Halloween 3, Valentine's Day Massacre, and the father in the Creepshow movie. He
Okay.
doesn't have his Tom Selleck mustache. Well, you got any final thoughts for Zombie about it?
Not, I mean, I think I've said everything that I want to say. I do thank you for finally getting me to watch this movie. I did not know, having seen the shark zombie meme in the past, or having seen the scene come across my computer screen at some point in the future or in the past, I guess I never bothered to look into where that movie came from. I mean, I had heard of Zombie. Because, you know, people do talk about it, you know, because it is kind of, I mean, I would say, you know, again, without having done the research, and I intentionally didn't do the research that I normally do because I didn't want to ruin anything. It definitely is one of the foundational films for the zombie genre going on, because they, you know, they built where they took the mythology that Romero started and continued to build it. And I think you can definitely see where other filmmakers later on down the road built and took from, you know, a little bit of Fulci, a little bit of Romero, a little bit of, you know, Carpenter, and kind of started making their own stuff.
That's good because a lot of those films, that just kind of speaks for a lot because a lot of Italian horror films, without them, we wouldn't have certain things now, like the Mario Bava, which I will eventually do on this at some point. Or if you've never seen the Black Sabbath movie, maybe I'll give you that. Would you be interested in seeing some more? Like a foreign horror.
I'm not against it.
It's got Boris
I
Karloff
mean,
in it.
I'm a Ooh, all right. I mean, I'm more aware of Black Sabbath the band than there was a movie. I don't know,
It's like an
you know, if I've
anthology.
ever
It
heard of
has
it.
three stories. It was Spanish, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So cool. Well, thank you so much, Nicholas, for coming on to the show. I appreciate it. We'll definitely bring you back for some more stuff. All right, guys, check out his podcast, and we'll see you next time.